I just thought I'd introduce AED. It's an international NGO, not-for-profit, here in Washington. We've got offices in 60 countries, 45 years experience, primarily in education and communication for health and other areas. And the reason I'm here today is that in October 2005, USAID gave us money to do emergency communication for backyard farmers in Southeast Asia. The intent of this was to stop or to try to slow down bird-to-bird transmission. Since then, we've gotten more involved in reducing human exposure and now in pan flu prep, but this original mandate and what I'm talking about today was bird-to-bird. I think it's important to remember the context because things have changed a lot with avian flu. At the time, Vietnam was the hotspot after Hong Kong. There had been nearly 400 outbreaks in 2005. There had been, since its inception in 2004, more than 2,000 reported outbreaks in the country, with culling of between 50 and 60 million poultry, which is about a quarter to a third of all the poultry in Vietnam, so huge impact. They had started vaccinating commercial poultry in May, and by the end of the year had expanded to backyard farms to general vaccination, but it was very controversial. Nobody really knew how to stop the epidemic, or the zoonotic. The culling was, as you can imagine, quite unpopular because you cull for 3 kilometers around an infection. Cambodia, the next country over, had had outbreaks in February and March 2005. Laos, there hadn't been outbreaks. And for human illness, Vietnam had had 93 cases with about half of them dying. Cambodia had 4 with complete mortality, and we assume that there have been more cases in Cambodia that went unreported because they were undetected. They never went to care. Laos didn't have any cases at that time. They've had one since. Okay, the state of knowledge was very, very weak. We didn't have much idea about sort of the close epidemiology of avian flu. People were hypothesizing that wild birds were extremely important. They were also hypothesizing that backyard farms were kind of the engine driving the zoonosis in Vietnam, which is why we were asked to focus on backyard farmers. The preventive measures that were suggested for backyard farmers, or let me first explain what a backyard farmer is. Somebody who has fewer than 100 poultry, and the major kinds of poultry that people keep in Vietnam are chickens, various kinds of ducks, and quail. Some people keep fighting cocks as well, but usually one, maybe two. We focused on chickens and ducks. But most people have well under under 50 birds, probably most under 20 or around 20. They are mainly free-ranging. You'll see later that they're probably enclosed mainly at night, if at all. Despite that, the suggested preventive measures that people were promoting were enclosing the birds, either ideally caging them or fencing them, separating the species, because the hypothesis was that wild birds interacted with ducks in the rice paddies, who then went and transferred the infection to the domestic chickens, and hygiene, sort of keeping farmyards clean, keeping bicycle tires clean, farm implements, and cages used to transport birds to market and markets. The process that we used in Southeast Asia, usually when we do communications interventions, we spend some time on formative research trying to find out more about the disease and people's behaviors and practices and beliefs around it. We had to do that very, very rapidly because there was such a push to start doing things. So we did rapid baseline research. We did a KAP survey and focus group discussions, and at the same time started gearing up for interventions, which included training animal health workers and other people who interacted with the communities in Vietnam. For example, we worked with the Women's Union, starting developing an integrated communication strategy that included advocacy, mass media, interpersonal communication, and community-based communication, which is to say sort of things like community theaters and road shows, things that gather crowds of people. The proposed actions that we were looking at in the in the research, but we actually started working on them before we had all the data. We're fencing and caging poultry, quarantining poultry brought into the flock for 14 days, which is longer than the incubation period, washing hands with soap and water between handling birds, and that's also useful for human exposure, and cleaning the yard every day. Okay, we've done surveys in all three Southeast Asian countries, in Vietnam, in both the Red River Delta and the Mekong Delta, in Cambodia, outside the capital region, and then in the southwest, to the southwest of that, which is actually where there was an outbreak. And then in Laos, we did four provinces, one near the capital, which is where most of the commercial farms are and where, in fact, there were later outbreaks, one in Luang Prabang, which is a little bit north, and then two in the south, really along the corridor of the transport corridor to Thailand. So that's a high-risk area. I'm only going to be talking about the Vietnam and Cambodia surveys. We've gotten the data quite fresh. The Cambodia one is actually still being cleaned, so it's very preliminary information. The Laos survey is still being analyzed. So these are very, very small surveys, and in fact, they're quite wide confidence limits around all the numbers that I'm going to show you. There were dispersed clusters, 10 households in a village, and with 5 to 7 households between the ones that we interviewed. We interviewed backyard farmers who were defined for the purposes of this study as people who had between 10 and 100 poultry. We really didn't want to talk to people who had two chickens, so we set the lower limit at 10. In terms of you'll see, there were really people have about 20 poultry, and we talked to an adult in the household. During the preliminary research, we found that there were lots of challenges to the sort of proposed actions. There was very sort of low risk perception about avian flu. A lot of poultry die. I mean, the mortality rate for a bird is about 50% average, 30 to 60%. And things like Newcastle or endemic people are actually quite used to sudden die-off of rather large numbers of birds. And they thought one of the common misperceptions was that avian flu was just a very bad case of Newcastle. We've actually found that all over the world. It was distinctive really only in the suddenness. Birds seem to die more quickly, and in the amount of mortality, more of the birds die. Human transmission was such a rare event, people really didn't think that it was a probable event at all, and that continues to be the case. There are huge consequences, huge negative consequences to reporting. Not only do the rest of your flock get killed, but all of your neighbors' birds get killed for 3 kilometers around. In societies, and this is particularly true in Laos and Vietnam, where it's very, very social, the peer pressure not to report is extreme. And the peer consequences of reporting are also extreme. Compensation is uncertain at best in Vietnam, countries that give it. Cambodia does not give it. And slow. It took a while. The livelihood issue is not the consequences of having culling or die-offs, but really the livelihood consequences of trying to do some of these protective measures. They're really not very affordable. People don't want to cage or fence their poultry, not only for the cost of caging or fencing, but because then they would have to feed the birds, and that's a big deterrent, and they may not have protective equipment. When we asked them about the suggested interventions, we got feedback that enclosing birds would be really difficult, feeding, cost of fencing. People said they didn't have space sometimes, and the notion is that ducks need to roam, and people also said that about their chickens, and there's also a belief that birds actually taste better and are healthier if they roam around and find their own food. There is an association between commercial feed and illness, which is quite interesting. They thought the temporary quarantine might be possible, but weren't so sure about the time. And then hand washing with soap was considered to be time consuming. People say, I don't have time, I've got to move on. The necessity wasn't clear if hands weren't dirty. We found that smell was an important sort of stimulus to hand washing, and not everybody had soap, or it wasn't necessarily convenient. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some of the results. Don't pay huge attention to the numbers. Sort of the colors are probably more important. So we've got two places in Vietnam and two in Cambodia. People are aware of transmission, quite high. High awareness of contact with sick birds in Vietnam, a little bit lower in Cambodia. It decreased in Vietnam, increased in Cambodia in one site. Contaminated environment was also relatively high, showed some change. What's very striking is that awareness of human agency, the role that humans can play, is extremely low in most places and hasn't changed for the better. Ownership of poultry. What's interesting here is that in Cambodia, the proportion of people owning both chickens and ducks has really decreased. And this is not exactly what we expected. In Vietnam is, in fact, a country where they had actually told people to stop raising ducks. Despite that, there's really no significant change in Vietnam, but there is a decrease in Cambodia. Preventive behaviors of enclosing chickens. There's really no change in the proportion of people doing it all or most of the time, which was much higher in Vietnam than it is in Cambodia. It decreased in one part of Vietnam. Some of the time, which usually means enclosing the birds at night, increased in most places. Separating chickens and ducks deteriorated. Part of that is because people just don't think it's important. Hygiene-related behaviors improved. And then what was really striking, these are not behaviors that anybody has promulgated, but they are ones that are extremely easy. And keeping poultry out of the house and wrapping something around your face when you're working with poultry or using plastic bags or gloves has increased significantly. Conclusions, there's a lot of variation from place to place within countries. There was more change in Cambodia than Vietnam. There was actually more interventions to promoting good practices in the Cambodian sites. There were actually outbreaks before the recent survey in Cambodia, whereas Vietnam had a year without outbreaks. And Vietnam's policy of vaccination has actually been a deterrent to people doing other protective measures that take more time. People didn't comply with the difficult practices. One of the things, it does seem anecdotally as if fewer people are raising birds now than they did before. We're actually doing some additional analyses to look at that, and that some easy protective behaviors increased. People are concerned, but it's really not feasible for them to do most of the protective behaviors. Thank you.